Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we ponder why the donkey spoke and the big fish swallowed. But first, let's pray. O God, your Holy Spirit has been at work to prepare our hearts for today, that we may receive your word. And so please, would you graciously silence in us all voices but your own, that we may clearly hear what it is you say to us, and then live in the light of your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have two readings for today. The first one is from Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 to 34, and I'm reading from the NIV. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it, so he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times?" "I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." Then we come to our second reading, Jonah chapter 1, verse 7 to 17. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Please do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. We have here two stories that are highly unusual, so much so that in the minds of some they are viewed as falling into the category of fable in the case of Balaam or allegory in the case of Jonah, since they don't seem to be grounded in reality or common sense. The story of Balaam reminds me of the farmer who lost his Bible on the farmlands somewhere. One day, while he was standing in a field, a cow ambles up to him, and to the farmer's great astonishment, he sees that the cow has a Bible gripped firmly in its jaws. He takes it from the cow and cries out, "My Bible! It's a miracle!" So the cow says, "Not really, your name was on the inside cover." Now, whether the two stories are viewed as fable or allegory respectively, or as real events, is not something to lose sleep over, since the fact of the matter is that they both form part of Holy Scripture and are therefore God-breathed, containing spiritual truths for us to learn and live by, to apply in this life and in our current circumstances. Personally, I rather prefer the view that these were real events. So the question is, why did the donkey talk and the big fish swallow? Here are at least three things for us to think about. Firstly, so that we can see, in part, the extent of God's rule over all creation, who, in the most extraordinary of ways, uses his creatures here, through a donkey and through a big fish, to intervene in the affairs of humans. Humans who, though they believe themselves to have some control over their own worlds and destinies, soon discover that this is not the case. In the instance of Balaam, a donkey speaks out to a prophet who claims to see visions of God, yet cannot see what his animal plainly sees. Ultimately, God uses the donkey to speak to Balaam, who then gets to see what danger he had been saved from. And while Balaam was given the go-ahead by God to meet with Balak, the king of Moab, the command to do only what God ordered was now seared into his mind. At the same time, the king of Moab would come to hear more of the God of the Israelites, whose blessings overturned any and all so-called curses. Now, when we think about poor Jonah, we read about a man who had essentially resigned himself to his fate, a likely death in the ocean because of his disobedience to God. But God provides or appoints a big fish to swallow Jonah whole. And it was big enough that miraculously he was able to survive, think about his life choices, and pray to God for forgiveness, so that finally the fish, at the command of the Lord, would vomit him out onto a beach, for him to get up and go and do what God commanded him to do, even with all his yet-to-be-worked-on prejudices, and speak to a nation who were not God's people, calling them to repentance. That's the first thing. The second thing we learn is that these stories reveal the love of God for those other than his people, and at the same time even for his own servants. We often get the impression, generally, that God acted in a way that was black and white when it came to meting out justice with regard to his own people. Now, this is true in some of the accounts of the Old Testament, particularly during the early formative life of the nation of Israel, where strict order and obedience was required as God dealt with an unruly people driven by a slave mentality and whose conduct affected the well-being of the rest of the nation. However, during those formative years and even years later, God would demonstrate a huge amount of mercy and long-suffering or patience, what we understand to be him holding back his punishment to give people time to repent, and in so doing, demonstrating his love and desire for reconciliation rather than immediate judgment. This is revealed in both of our stories, in the detail and in the overall narratives. God was so long-suffering with Balaam, who was not an Israelite, giving him every opportunity to align himself with his purposes. He could have simply destroyed him. Instead, the angel of the Lord, whom Balaam now sees, asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. Which may indicate that while Balaam's mission was repugnant to God, and while God had still given him the go-ahead, which is baffling for us, it is likely that Balaam had already begun thinking anew about how his mission could be a really great source of wealth for him, still not recognizing that Jehovah was not like the other gods who were inconsequential. For this reason, God opposes him in this way. Nevertheless, he has the go-ahead once again and is warned once more to do only what God instructs him to do. This would likely make Israel's enemies think twice so that they may be spared the judgment of God. As we think about Jonah, his time in the belly of the fish brought him to his senses and revealed the long-suffering nature of God upon his life. If he was spared in the belly of a huge fish, he could go with some confidence that God would keep him safe as he entered a pagan city with an announcement from this foreign god, Jehovah, telling those heathens of a 40-day grace period in which appropriate repentance would spare their huge city from his impending judgment, the destruction of everything they knew. The odd thing about Jonah was that despite his appreciation for the mercy and long-suffering of God in his own life, he could not stomach the same mercy and long-suffering being extended to Nineveh, which is a story on its own. Yet the care and love of God needed to be shown to this pagan city. The third thing we get from these two stories is the lengths to which God will go to bring people to their senses. This thought accords with the long-suffering of God. We see how elaborately God works in Balaam's situation, making a donkey of all things speak. And in the case of Jonah, someone who was blatantly disobedient, how God put together an unusual plan to save both Jonah and those on the boat who were witness to the power of God over the elements. For this reason, there is room for us to believe that God will also go to great lengths to take care of his people, us, to rescue us in accordance with his purposes, regardless of how some have come undone in one way or another. As we end, ultimately the incident with Balaam was irrelevant, since no matter what he did, Israel's life was covenantly bound to God and his blessing and protection. God's blessing of Israel could never be revoked, no matter what Balaam did. What we do discover is that Balaam and Balak, king of Moab, and all those who would one day hear the story, learn that Jehovah is indeed the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land, and that his purposes, bound by covenant, will not be undermined by human will or effort. In fact, Balaam could not but pronounce four oracles or prophecies about Israel, in which the promises of the Abrahamic covenant are consistently affirmed. The fourth oracle is perhaps the most remarkable in chapter 24, verse 15 to 19, since it has messianic overtones. Here is what Balaam said in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I see him, that is the Almighty, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. This is the messianic overtone. And he continues to say, he will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth. For us, we discover in Balaam this truth, that God can use anyone, human or beast, to speak his word. When we think about Jonah's story, what is notable is how Jesus uses it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 41, in relation to his death and resurrection. This is what it says. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Jesus, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, So the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here, Jesus referring to himself. And so there are many reasons why the donkey spoke and the big fish swallowed, but central to them all is that they all point to Jesus through the Abrahamic covenant, which speaks of being justified by faith, and then through the image of the death and resurrection of Jesus in Jonah's story. One might say that the overarching thought is John 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, like Balaam, we sometimes think we are in control. And like Jonah, we resist when we should speak up in your name for the sake of the gospel. We find it hard to let you be Lord or confess the name of Jesus when we are called on to do so. We range from placing too much stock in our own abilities to being awkward and feeling inadequate. But you have empowered us by your Holy Spirit to lean on you and to speak and to act in your name. Help us to rise up and follow wherever you lead, and to do only what you tell us to do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.